podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
Hogan Johns.
We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed.
He's going to outrace his partners and outrace everybody. In the secondary he goes, and he will not be caught. Touchdown, Chicago.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Ho.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
That just happened.
Tom Brokaw is a punk.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey.
Yeah, like a spider monkey.
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
Obsession.
My oh my!
Being obsessed.
And now,
here
they are.
Perfection.
The Adams.
Yeah, baby.
Hogan Johns.
Shake and bake.
Well, welcome to America, amigo.
Go on and get some, boys.
I gotta say, that Talladega Nights open made me want to watch the movie this week.
I haven't seen it in a few years now.
Oh, I love those sound bites. Really well done by Ernie this week.
Yeah.
Oh, that made me laugh. Welcome in episode 187 of the Hogue and Johns podcast. We will come at you like a spider monkey.
Okay, you can.
There's another t-shirt idea.
Yeah.
Just someone needs to make the t-shirts.
Yes, we'll work on that.
Beer drinking.
Beer drinking football guys.
That's right. We didn't own that enough, beer drinking football guys. That was.
But yeah, time. We're only halfway through the season.
That's
my
right.
Friend.
We're not even halfway.
No.
Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer is Joe Romano, at Joey Joe Rowe, with an R-O.
Doing it big this week, guys.
See, I got this friend named Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
That's the worst name I ever heard.
Oh, no. Hi, Joey Jojo!
Joey's got a big game against Penn State this week we got to talk about later. He's playing in it, actually.
What's yeah. up? The fullback. Yeah. The one with the blood?
You could play a fullback. I like Michigan runs a fullback. I like that they still have fullback on the roster. It's old school.
Not that this is a Michigan podcast or anything, but when Jim Harbaugh got his first coaching job, he called Bo Schembechler. And Bo's like, you going to have a fullback? And Jimmy's like, yeah. And he's like, all right, you're good. That's it. That's all I need to know.
That was his only qualification?
Yep. Run the old fullback
so
power.
Take that and think about that for a little bit.
Yeah. Read us at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com, and please rate, review the podcast. Subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, wherever you listen to your podcast. We are brought to you by Jerry Haggerty Chevrolet in Glen Ellen. For value and integrity, it has to be Haggerty. JerryHaggertyChevrolet.com. Go see them in Glen Ellen, and if you do, make sure you tell them that Hogue and John sent you. This is totally random. Jerry Haggerty's daughter plays for the Wisconsin volleyball team, and I was trying to get the coverage of what was going on in Maryland yesterday. Holy crap.
Yeah.
The whole Maryland situation. I get back from
trick-or-treating
and find out that DJ Durkin was fired, which, wow, that was such an easy right decision to make, but good for the president.
Well, it took
there.
The players to stand up and do something
good
for them to reach that decision. But yes,
anyway,
I'm applauding the players. Forget the school. I'm applauding the players.
I went to BTN to get some coverage, and they had live, the Wisconsin-Minnesota volleyball game on, and Jerry's daughter, Molly, is on Wisconsin.
Setter? Libero?
Outside hitter, I think.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. Because he's told me about it before. No offense, I don't watch a lot of Wisconsin volleyball of all the sports.
But one of the first things I ever covered in my sports writing career was the Elite Eight NCAA Women's Basketball or volleyball tournament.
That's
in
actually
Green Bay. Yeah,
that's actually entertaining.
Stanford versus Hawaii in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Well, we did have some regionals at the Fieldhouse in Wisconsin when I was a student there, and I would go to some of them. It gets pretty rowdy, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Some good crowds.
Yeah.
So anyway, and Jerry's also got a daughter on the Michigan State volleyball team.
Wow.
They got some athletes in that
family. Yeah,
so
tall?
Yes. Jerry's a tall guy. You can go see him for yourself, and maybe he'll let you measure him. Jerry Haggerty Chevrolet in Glen Ellen. How's your posture?
It's good. Matt Patricia's on TV right now, scolding a reporter for slouching.
Who was it that he yelled at? Do we know?
We think it's Mike Rothstein of ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, if you missed that yesterday, he scolded a reporter for slouching while asking him a question. Obviously, some underlying tension there.
Yes.
It was. You just got to hear it. We don't have that for you.
There's a lot of reporters who probably deserve scolding over the years at Hallis Hall.
There was a picture. I forget which big press conference it was, but it was a few years ago. One of the big, the important ones, like someone got fired or something like that. And so they had the front page, the whole front page of the Tribune, not Sun-Times, sorry, but it was the Tribune, and from the side. And I'm sitting there in the front row with my legs crossed. Like outstretched, like I'm just chilling.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not the best view.
No,
best look.
I've been known to slouch a bit, yeah. But never really in a press conference.
How'd trick or treating go last night?
It was good. A lot of full candy bars.
Oh, really?
Now, oh yeah, the full Twix, the full Kit Kat, bags of chips are new. That's been a new addition in our neighborhood. Like, the big Target bags of chips.
I don't like that.
I love some Cool Ranch Doritos. My son would not give it to me. During our walk around the northwest side of Chicago, but
I'm like, if they're trying to go healthy, that's not healthy. Like, why would you?
Who's going healthy on Halloween?
But why go chips?
What kind of communist do we have around here?
I don't know.
Don't play it.
I would never pull something like that from Sunday's podcast.
I set you up for that one. Yeah. I guess I am a communist.
That's good. Trick or treating was good here too.
Yeah,
it's fun being. Well, in
what's the big candy around here? I mean, everybody's got a few houses where you go to where you got the full candy bar.
We don't really have that here. It was just all pretty normal.
It's disappointing.
I felt bad, though, because we went out as like a group. We had like the big neighborhood, all the parents and kids.
Well, my wife and I were talking about this. The Halloween is a friend holiday, right? To me, it's not a family holiday. Yes, you can have grandma, grandpa.
That's a good point, yeah.
They want to dress up with their friends. They want to run around with their friends. They want to go door-to-door with their friends. So what we do, we get to hang out with the parents. We pull the wagon.
Yes.
And in that wagon is not a child, but a cooler.
A booze.
Full of beer, yes. There is our treat.
I agree. I had a thermos of apple cider and bourbon.
Oh, so you... whoa. Did you have to hide it up around here?
No.
No red Solo cups?
No, just in a thermos to keep it warm. Because it was warm. Because I actually thought it was going to be cold yesterday. It was actually beautiful.
It was very nice. A few years ago, the sleeting snow a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, we had too many empties in our wagon. It was jingling too much. The bottles clanking too much. It's kind of embarrassing, but... Yeah. Hey, we had fun.
It happens. Good. Well, happy Halloween to everybody. And what's November 1st again? The Day of the Dead? Is that right? Or All Saints Day?
I don't know.
I think it's something like that. I should know that. I think it's like a Catholic
school
holiday.
Thing. Yeah.
We should both know that.
We should probably both know that, yeah.
It's too bad Ignatius couldn't pull off that upset over Notre Dame.
Yeah. Too bad. Absolutely too bad.
All right. Well, should we talk about the Bears since this is a Bears podcast?
It is.
Some interesting stuff. First of all, let's start with the news. Okay. Kyle Long, the injury. I don't know if it's good or bad news. It looked like he might be out for the year when he got hurt. We don't know that he's out for the year. He's going to be out for a while. Matt Nagy didn't put a timetable on it, called him week to week. It's very obvious he's going to miss.
Well, absolutely.
Most of the rest of the season, yes. If not all of it. The interesting, Ian Rappaport put out 6 to 8 weeks. So that's really all the most specific timeline we have to go off of. Who knows if that's, I don't know if that's completely accurate or not. If you took it as accurate, 6 to 8 weeks is a big difference. 6 weeks means that he could come back for, let's see, weeks 14, 15, 16, 17, best case scenario. 8 weeks, you're talking about him not coming back till really the last game of the year, possibly playoffs if we're talking about playoffs. So the question is, do you IR him for the roster spot? Matt Nagy yesterday didn't rule it out, said they're still having those conversations. I guess it depends on what you need. Now, the one thing I'm unclear about, maybe you know the answer to this, to do the IR to return, do you actually have to be on IR for 8 weeks? Or
you have to miss 8 games.
You just have to miss the game.
You have to miss the 8 games.
So my question is, if they choose not to IR him for like 2 to 3 weeks, then they decide they need the roster spot,
Then he goes to IR and he's done for the year.
So you cannot, those weeks are not retroactive, is what
no,
I'm saying.
No, I don't think so.
So they would have to make that decision now.
Right.
If
right.
they want to IR Saturday, him
yeah.
with the possibility of bringing him back for the playoffs.
Right. I think Saturday is the, they can wait up until that point. But if again, if it's truly, like, can he be better in 5 weeks? Save the roster spot. That roster right. spot is so in flux
right.
more often than not. And just compared to like last few years under Ryan Pace, there's been less shuffling around.
Oh,
I think that
yeah.
speaks to the depth, the comfort they have with this
and
roster right now.
The health that
yes.
they've mostly
yes,
had.
Yes, yes, yes. And they've had some injuries, some serious ones at that, or at least some notable players getting banged up. I just got a couple thoughts on Kyle Long. I feel bad for him. This sucks. The guy just can't stay healthy.
Right.
Such a great player once before, and you know, just injuries after injuries after injuries. The sucks. On a personal level, it sucks. But I do think they're better prepared for life without him as opposed to years past. Eric Kush was a starter. He's a serviceable replacement. Brian Witzman started 13 games for Matt Nagy last year. And you know what? You got a second-round pick in James Daniels, who is pretty darn good in certain spots against the Jets. Pretty good defensive line in some, at least in some players. So I think they can withstand this loss better than they could in the past.
Also, I want to be careful with this because Kyle Long's still a really good player. He's also not the player he was before.
I would almost argue that in some case, in a sense, he's almost better because he's more polished technically, but I think the athlete is not the same.
That's a good way to... Yes, that's completely fair because you're right. And he would even admit in the past, sometimes because of how athletic he was and how dominant he could be, his technique would get sloppy
yes,
sometimes. So
yes.
I think you're right that that area has improved. But obviously, and it's not his fault or anything, and nobody can criticize him for how much work he has put in to come back with all the surgeries he had in the offseason, the gruesome ankle injury from 2 years ago that still was an issue last year. He's fought really hard, and he's going to do it again here. It's just a matter of how this all plays out. I imagine, given the spot they're in, though, they have to do everything they can to not end his season. If there's a chance he could be back for January.
Absolutely. I like, kind of lost in this conversation is almost a long-term view of the season for the Bears. They think they can put a run here. And they're thinking,
and they should think
they're
that.
Thinking January football. They're thinking meaningful football in late December. People haven't brought that up enough.
Well, here's the thing. Your whole season's in front of you. You're 4-3. I think everyone thinks they should be 5-2 because of that Dolphins loss. But whatever, you're 4-3, but you have 5 out of your 6 divisional games ahead. That means you control your destiny. You win those games. Even if you just go 4-1 in those games, 3-2, I mean, I would think
if you have a winning record out of those games,
you're in good shape. You're in good shape winning this division. At this point, I think the games against Minnesota, you got to at least split them at this point. And then we kind of vaguely suggested this at the start of the year as a possibility, but as the season goes along, week 17 in Minnesota could mean a lot.
Absolutely.
Could mean a lot. Now, you got to win the games before that.
We got week 16 against the Packers, correct? Is it week 16 or week 15 against the Packers?
No.
I think the 49ers are somewhere jammed up in there.
It goes 49. Yeah, it goes Packers, 49ers, yeah. Vikings to end the year. But I brought up that week 17 game for a reason because that's right on the back end of the timetable, at least that Ian Rappaport put out there, as a possibility for Kyle Long to be back for that game. That could essentially be a playoff game.
Yeah.
A lot of hypotheticals here, but these have to be somewhat of the same conversations they're having right now at House Hall about what to do with Kyle Long. You look at the schedule. You don't want your players looking ahead, but if you're Ryan Pace, you have to be looking ahead.
Even Mitch Trubisky talked about having a short-term view within a long-term view. They know what's at stake here. They know what's been being built.
Mm-hmm.
They know.
All right. The other big injuries this week, the same as the last 2 weeks. Khalil Mack.
Yeah, nothing really to say, right?
No, I mean, it's the same thing. Khalil Mack and Allen Robinson. Both played 2 weeks ago. Neither played last week. They're trying to get them healthy. It does seem like Allen Robinson clearly re-aggravated that groin, though, at the end of the Patriots game. which I think set him back.
He did do some stuff on Friday. I in terms of like conversations, internal conversations, I think the Bears looked at it and be like, look, we should be able to beat the Jets without these guys. Let's be honest.
So then the question is, does the same apply this week?
Yes. At least with Mac, I think you got a couple of other factors here. One, he's returning to Buffalo where he played his collegiate ball. You know he's going to want to play because you know he's got friends still within that city. Two, Mac was on the field like warming up.
He was throwing like footballs 50 yards downfield and running routes and catching the football.
Yes.
He looked healthy.
Yeah, so... Yeah, he's going to want to play. Is he injured? Is he hurt? Yeah. Is he 100%? No. It's the same with Robinson. But I think they kind of need one of them elite. Like Buffalo's. Something about this game concerns me. I think the Bears should still win, but that's a tough place to play. They got a good defense. Yeah, they have Nathan Peterman starting at quarterback, but they got some offensive threats out there with Calvin Benjamin, LeSean McCoy. I could see Mac playing.
I kind of think they need Robinson more, though.
Because of the good defense of the Bills.
They have a good defense. And that was I watched that entire game Monday night against the Patriots. That was reaffirmed in that game. And the offense that I watched Monday night from the Bills got worse. Because Derek Anderson gets hurt late in the game. The Bears' defense, I think, is better than Patriots' defense.
Yeah.
And they're going to have Nathan Peterman out there. And the backup could be Matt Barkley. So, defensively, they should be able to win without Khalil Mack. Now, if he's healthy, I play him. Because I also think that this game is going to be closer than most people think. Because I think the offense is going to have some issues, which brings me back to what I was just saying. I think Allen Robinson is actually more important. Now, they showed they have weapons without Allen.
I mean, they have a lot of weapons.
Anthony Miller's coming on. Taylor Gabriel's been good all season. Even Josh Bellamy, let's give him some credit, came up and had some big catches. Kevin White stepped up a little bit, too. Allen Robinson's your best receiver, though. And he, just from a matchup standpoint, changes things. So you want him out there. But I would say, I think there's a chance both play.
I could see it. I could see it. I don't think neither of their injuries are overly problematic or overly disconcerting. If they could play, they should play.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll continue to watch that this week. The bottom line, though, is there's not much else we can say about it. Matt Nagy said the plan will be the same as the last 2 weeks. They did not practice on Wednesday. They did not practice Thursday, and then they were limited Friday. We expect that to be
It could be as simple as another game time decision. If Khalil Mack says, I feel okay, it's all Brian Pace probably needs to hear. Like, you're going to sit that.
Yeah, I would agree. If it's 50-50 or like truly questionable like he was last week, I would sit him again. Otherwise, if he's good to go, you play him.
Yeah, can they beat the Bills without them? Absolutely. Could they use them against the Bills? Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, we got a lot of sound to play here. The big story yesterday at House Hall was this mic'd up video that Matt.
We haven't hit the voicemail.
I know we're going to go to that here, but I just did want to tease this. We're going to play some of this stuff from Nagy talking to Trubisky during the game. I imagine a lot of you have already heard it. If not, we're going to play it for you. We're also going to give you what Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky had to say about it yesterday at House Hall, because it was an interesting conversation. But first, the voicemails, Bears, Jets, somewhat of a sleepy win. Were the voicemails sleepy too?
Hello?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Hogan John's voicemail.
The Hogan John's voicemail line.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
Got any questions or comments about the Bears? Give the guys a call before, after, or even during the game. 312-222-5050.
Go Bears!
Hoggy Cat, John the Bear, Jickety Joe Raw. Bob Dabrowski is here leaving Soldiers Field, a victorious Soldier Field, as our Chicago Bears go in and take care of business. folks, it was a bit of a boring game there, kids, but the Bears won. Mitch looked much better in the second half. You know, he's a second half kid, second half player. That's what we like to see. And we got the win against the AFC East, as you need to do to win the Super Bowl. And we're going to the Super Bowl. Let's go, Bears. I'll talk to you kids later.
Sid from the West Burbs, loving this Bears win over the Jets right now, but holy moly, is Deion Sims a useless piece of crap. Can't even stay on his feet to make a block and rolls up on Kyle Long's previously injured ankle. Thank you very much, number 88.
Jesse from Bucktown. You know, a win's a win. They're tough to get in the NFL. You have to like how in the second half it was all Bears. Defense performed well. It was obviously a really good call to keep Mac out. I think we saw how good this defense really could be, or really how bad the Jets really are. These next two wins are absolutely critical because going 500 in the North in those three division game series in November is going to be tough. The Lions twice in 11 days with the Vikings in between is going to be a challenge. If we come up 500 and we win those next two games, we should have 10 wins on the season, and 10 wins gets a playoff berth.
Mark from Minneapolis.
Dudes, last first. First to last. Last first. Next week's going to suck.
My name's Marisol. I'm from Las Vegas. Our running game is good, and I'm leaving my man for Trubisky.
Ooh, wow. Hopefully your man's not a listener to this podcast.
What happens in Vegas does not stay in Vegas.
A little bit of a shorter edition this week, you know? Just because the Bears win a game they should win, let's still bring it on the voicemails,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah.
312-222-5050.
I thought there'd be more excitement over Tariq Cohen's 70-yarder.
Right?
Anthony Miller's touchdown.
Those were nice touchdowns.
There was no angst over Trubisky, though. People obsess over his throws. There was like one throw where callers could have been upset about. One. Where to me, it was a clear miscommunication. Down the sideline to Trey Burton. Trey Burton seemed to cut off his route.
Oh, yeah. And he kind of sidearmed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. That was not a great situation. I don't know whose fault it was. But all right. So speaking of that, part of the reason why you couldn't complain about Trubisky this week is because he responded in the second half and was very, very good. There was a video the Bears put out. I don't know if this was an NFL Films mic'd up thing or if the Bears did this on their own. I think it's all incorporated together. Usually when players, coaches, whatever, get mic'd up, this is the stuff you end up seeing on NFL Films years later. And usually it's good stuff. To me, I love this stuff. I love being able to hear what goes on in the sidelines of the games. Part of the reason why I love my job doing sidelines at Northwestern, because you're down there the whole game, you really see what's happening, you pick up on so many things. And the Bears did a great job with this video. Look, it's easier when you're winning, but the Bears have done, I'll give them credit, they've done a lot better with some of their social media stuff this year and some of the videos they've been putting out. Again, when you're winning, it's a lot easier.
A high five today, Dallas.
It was good stuff. And this video was good. And we're not going to play the whole thing. Specifically, I pulled the stuff about Trubisky. So Matt Nagy mic'd up during the game. This is what he said to Trubisky at halftime, and then kind of how it all played out.
I'm going to challenge you right now, these two quarters, for greatness.
Yes, sir.
You got me?
Got you.
I want to see it come out of you right here.
Yes, sir.
You take this thing over right now.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go.
Trubisky throwing left side of the end zone. Touchdown, Bears! Hunter throw to the left side. Anthony Miller with a grab.
Great job. Now we keep it going. That right there, that's special, right? That's a special throw that you just made right there. Good job. Now let's keep it going. What I asked you to do in the start of the third is what you just did, right? It's never always going to be 100% pretty, but you came through and you made throws when you need to, and you got us going the right way. Okay, we grew today. I love it. Okay.
So there he is, Matt Nagy to Mitch Trubisky, challenging him at halftime for greatness. The quarterback delivering in the second half.
He was good in the second half. He's been good in the second half of a few games here. Are we going to play them first before we give our insight? What do you want to do?
Well, you had questions for Nagy yesterday about this.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
I have his answers, so whatever you want to do.
No, hit the button.
Okay, so you asked specifically if he has to, you know, because he used to be an offensive coordinator, sitting with the quarterback the whole game. quarterback coach, same thing. Now he's the head coach. Got a lot more on his plate. You asked him if, to Matt Nagy, you asked him if he has to remind himself to have those conversations with Mitch during games.
Yeah, I do need to remind myself at times, just because you're trying to focus on all aspects of the game. I'm so used to sitting on the bench next to him after every, the quarterback after every series, talking through, going through that. But for me, every now and then, if I feel like there's a time where I got to talk to him and maybe, you know, just have a little one-on-one conversation, I'll do it. I don't overdo it. I try not to, because then it just becomes, noise that he doesn't hear. When I talk to him, I want it to mean something. And so I think that's important to have that relationship. I also think it's important for him to have a great relationship and trust with his quarterback coach, Ragone, and Mark Helfer, GOC.
As you spoke to him on that, we saw challenging him at halftime for greatness in the second half. What was your thinking there? You know, what compelled you to do that, and how do you feel like you responded?
No, I think he responded well. You know, Mitch will be the first to tell you that as an offense, there we weren't clicking in the first half, and so sometimes you need that spark. And Mitch naturally does that. He has that in him, and he'll get the guys going. But I felt like at that time right there, it was still a very close game. We were getting ready to get the ball to start the third quarter, and you look for that spark. And for what it's worth, I just want him to know that I'm behind him, that I support him. But I also want him to know that I'm going to put my thumb on him too and make sure that I expect him to be great. And so I want to challenge him into seeing him do great things. And so there's no one on our football team that's going to accept the challenge more than him. I think there's times that ultimately in the end we wanted to come out with the win. And I think I was really proud of him on the touchdown pass he made. Again, we always talk about is it the plays or the players? And that one there was the players. They made great plays.
Hey, just curious, when you're mic'd up, how aware are you that you are mic'd up and that every private conversation?
Well, number one, I know within the first 5 minutes I am. So, I forgot that I was, and I forgot the whole time until I got into my office after the game and I made them take the wire off me. And then, I trust Fabes to make sure that this thing's going the right way.
Have you seen some of the reactions to it? I mean, what?
No. Is it good or bad?
Really good.
Good. I hope so. I mean, I don't know. Hopefully, I know there could be some bad stuff on there, but it sounds like Fabe did a good job or the media. So, I don't know.
Take the outtakes.
Huh?
We'll take the outtakes of the stuff that got cut if you want to give
it. Yeah, what was the best part?
Mitch stuff.
The Mitch stuff.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Good.
The Mitch stuff. So, David Kaplan, our friend from ESPN and
Cappy.
Cap.
Sparkles.
Cap, had gotten into an argument, still carried on into Twitter this morning with his partner Jordan Kernett, the fiance of Shea Pepler, former Notre Dame basketball player, about how if you would mic up a lot of coaches, you would see this. Olin Kreutz, the former Bears center, said if you would mic up Lovie Smith, you would have seen something similar. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. I think it's different, though.
Wasn't John Fox mic'd up once last year?
I watched a mic'd up video of Lovie Smith at the Buccaneers. Yesterday, I watched John Fox mic'd up at camp. Yesterday,
it's all good, right?
Yeah. No, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Nagy does feel different, just in terms of the mic'd up video he did at camp. That felt different than Fox's mic'd up video at camp. To me, this video should stand out to people because of what he is saying to Trubisky.
All quarterbacks,
because of the content. Yes, yeah. Yes, and it's a context too. It's this. That's their team right there. I don't mean to boil it. Everything down to Trubisky and Nagy, but look, Ryan Pace has always wanted to establish the Peyton Breeze connection here. He has it now. It's early, yes, but he has it now with Trubisky and Nagy.
Drew Breeze.
Yes, he's got the young coach and the young quarterback that are growing together. Those interactions, to me, are notable. This is new. This is different. It should feel different. It should feel new for everybody who saw it.
Yeah, this is one of those. I didn't hear the argument on the radio. I saw some of this on Twitter this morning. I think this is one of those classic situations where both people are right. because I think Jordan, and I saw Olin's tweet too, yeah, about Lovey. I think they're right. And this is what I was saying before. I love these mic'd up things. And they're not always good. I mean, Khalil Mack was mic'd up on Monday Night Football, and I didn't think it added anything.
No.
He's more a quieter, lead by example type guy, so you're not going to get that rah-rah stuff during the game. But I agree. Most coaches, when they're mic'd up, it's going to be interesting. But I also think Cap's right, and you're right in what you're saying right now, in that the substance of what was being said, and there's another thing here I'm going to play about Jordan Howard here in a second that I also thought was significant, is particularly interesting, and why so many people were writing about this at Hallis Hall yesterday and asking Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky about it. Now, I also have Trubisky's reaction. This was interesting because he actually didn't know that Nagy was mic'd up. I followed up and asked him later, did you even know they had a mic at any point? No. And he didn't even know the video had come out. He had not seen the video.
No. Yeah.
He told me he was about to go watch it, and he said that in the press conference too. And so he had not seen it, but we asked him just about this specific interaction with Matt Nagy. Nagy challenging him during the game for greatness, and just in general, that relationship and how it's playing out during games.
I mean, every single snap and every single game, I mean, really every single week, you're striving for greatness. But I think when he just pulled me aside and really, like, I mean, I think it really just honed me in, made me focus a lot more, and just made me that more motivated to just focus in and do what I had to do to help the offense and really get us going. And I got so much respect and love for Coach that, I mean, he just said it, and I need to make it happen. So I played a little bit better the second half, but that I'm trying to be consistent. That's what I'm trying to do all the time, but it definitely means a lot coming from him.
He used the word, he said, you know, Mitch knows I have his back, but he also said he also wants you to know that he's got his thumb on you, you know, and finding that balance of support, sure, and also pushing you. How do you feel like that has evolved through the first seven games?
I love it. I think the best players, they want to be the hardest workers, and they also want to be pushed the most. So we have a really good relationship where I want him criticizing and I want him pushing me all the time, but we also have that loving relationship, and then we have that respect that goes both ways, that I know he just wants the best for me, and me, I just want the best for him as well. So no hard feelings and no sensitivity when I'm being criticized, because he does want me to be great. He said it the second half, and that's what I'm trying to go out and do.
When you guys have those interactions, when he uses words like challenge and greatness, you said it makes you hone in. Does that click right away? I mean, like, take me through what?
Yeah, for sure. It's not just me. It's the offense. So every week he challenges us for different things. And last week it was be aggressive and finish, and that's what we were. We were aggressive in our mentality and play calling the whole game, and then we finally finished when we got a lead the second half. So when he says that, I think it just makes us more goal-oriented and more focused, and then we just go out and execute it that way. So when he gives us stuff like that, I think that's what great leaders do, and he definitely backs it up as well.
You know, we're still early in this whole thing, seven games into what you just called the Sean Payton Drew Brees connection that Ryan Pace has been trying to get since he got here, and he was patient and struck very aggressively both when it was time to draft Trubisky and time to hire Matt Nagy. I mean, go back to January and how quickly that all happened just hours after the playoff loss, that everyone thought the Chiefs were going to win that game. All of a sudden, the interview happens. He's hired overnight. It's still early. I think the early returns, though, are overwhelmingly positive.
Correct.
With these two. Think about, I mean, remember those QBR numbers I brought up last week? Okay, Mitch is up to number 7 now. I think he was number 9 last week when I went through that whole spiel on the podcast. He's now up to number 7. This offense is a top 10 offense now. They're ranked 10th in total yards per game. Scoring, they're now, where did that go? Points per game, they're 9th, okay? And that's been way higher than that, actually, the last few weeks. Think about that in comparison to the conversations we were having on this podcast a year ago. And, like, Tariq Cohen can't get on the field for more than 10 snaps per game, or whatever it is, because he's commanding double teams. And the idiotic logic there is with that. These dumb conversations that we were forced to have a year ago, think about this. I mean, they're moving the football. They're the quarterback is playing at a high level, and yet every single game, there's still that frustration where, oh, he missed that throw. Oh, he missed that throw. Oh, the offensive line isn't playing 100%. The running game isn't really good. I mean, there's so much room for improvement yet. These are signs, though, that this is working. And I just think, you know, just hearing Mitch talk about Nagy there, I couldn't help but think how lucky he sort of is that this is the guy Ryan Pace went, because he could have hired anybody. And I think Mitch maybe had a little input, but not a lot.
No, well, he was definitely part of
sure
the hiring process, whether or not he was involved in the interviews or not.
But this goes back
he's the quarterback.
It goes back to before the draft and how much Nagy liked Trubisky when he was in Kansas City, before the Bears ended up picking him and the Chiefs ended up with Mahomes, which is looking great for them too. But the early returns are that this is working. That is unbelievably important.
I think there's so much built up angst over the years that some folks, some fans, some media don't realize what's truly afoot. And I don't want to sound like we're getting ahead of ourselves. This thing can turn a thousand different ways, but the early returns are positive. One last thought on these videos before we actually get to the Bills game. Lovie Smith was revered by his players.
No question.
But he cannot go up to his quarterback, whether it's Rex Grossman or Jay Cutler, I want to challenge you to greatness. He's not calling his plays. He was not part of the offensive installs. Yes, he had a hand in as the head man in charge. Just like John Fox coordinates every single thing that, right, that happens at Hallis Hall. It's just different.
Yeah, I'm not an offense coordinator. I'm not a defense coordinator. I'm not a special teams coordinator, but I coordinate all three.
It's just different. It means more. It means significantly more because Nagy is here a lot because of that connection with Trubisky, developing Trubisky. He's calling the plays for him. They're locked in step. It just means so much more. The message is that much stronger when your head coach is not only your play caller, but an offensive-minded guy who was here for you, in a sense.
And Nagy did provide us with his second soundbite to the soundboard in 2 weeks.
Mitch, do you have me? Mitch!
That's good, see?
Mitch, do you have me? Mitch, do you have me? Okay, good, good.
It's good. Hope so.
Mitch, do you have me? Mitch!
Mitch!
Mitch! This is him trying to get his attention in the... Sometimes those communication systems go down.
Break down, yeah.
Quickly, though, I do want to... I also thought this was significant in the video. We got to move quickly, though, here because we got to get to our games. But this was Nagy talking to Jordan Howard after Jordan Howard scored that touchdown in the fourth quarter to extend the Bears' lead.
That's the way to run that rock. Okay, I promise you I'm going to get you going. I promise you.
Can we make a promise never to talk about him being a trade?
Oh, yeah, that was
in
so
trades,
dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just, that was a sort of, I thought that was also significant.
That's the way to run that rock. Okay, I promise you, I'm going to get you going. I promise you.
We learned something. We got insight.
Yeah.
You know, it's always good to learn new things. You know what I learned today? I learned today that you're a long shower guy.
Long shower guy. Although today was a quick one.
Yeah, yeah, because I was on my way over. Adam Holt calls me. Well, I'm getting off the highway. He's like, I'm hopping in the shower. Door's open. I go, I'm like 20 minutes away. How long is this going to take? I'm a long shower guy.
Long shower guy.
I had a friend in high school. We're still a good buddy. We'll call him Big Red, who was a very long shower guy.
Well, you know, if he's a big guy, he's got a lot.
No, he's not that big. He's not that big. We're just going to call him Big Red because he's an Irish kid with red hair.
Okay.
And he took like hour-long showers.
Ooh, I mean.
So we would like go over to his house, you know, drink a few beers in his basement before we go out, you know, in high school, you know, whatever. We weren't angels. And he would go take a shower. He'd disappear for like an hour and a half.
Whoa.
Who knew what he was doing up there?
See, I'd say I average on 12 minutes.
12 minutes? Oh, that's not too bad. It's kind of standard.
And it goes from, summer, I'll take cold showers, so it'll be faster. Winter, I will stand there. I hate winter. I'll stand there under the hot water for a long time.
Let it warm you up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You got to do that. Oh, yeah. So you learn something every day. All right. Should we get to this game?
Yes.
Let's let Mitch Trubisky introduce us to Bills Mafia.
What do you know about the Bills Mafia?
They jump on tables and they're crazy. Love it. It's exciting. I want to see some Bears fans jump on tape. I shouldn't say that. Take that back. Yeah,
That got
a lot of retweets for you.
Yeah, that did. I did anyone else tweet that out?
I don't know.
I mean, I kind of felt bad.
I think some people did.
Your laugh there like broke the microphone.
So
I had to turn that. Do you know how much I had to lower the levels on your laugh?
So there is a point. There is a seat in the media room that if you sit in,
yeah, you're right under the mic,
and they pick up everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Don't mumble anything on your breath.
Because it will be caught. It will be caught. Okay. We got some over-unders. Want me to get to the over-unders for this game?
Sure.
Podcast listed, solicited.
You did this week.
Yeah. Well,
thank you.
Yeah, this
it's
is
about time someone took something off my
up.
Plate.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
since I sent you the games about 20 minutes before the podcast started.
That's another issue. Anyway, this is from Eric Skoglund. Skoglund. He goes by Skoogs on Twitter.
Skoogs.
Breaking tables mentions over under at 2.5. What do you guys think?
Like during the broadcast?
During the broadcast. What do
like
you think?
Like video?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do they show videos of that during the game?
I feel
like it's something they would frown upon.
Who's the broadcast team?
You know, I don't know. They're on Fox this week.
Okay.
Let me look it up.
ESPN during Monday Night Football had a couple of table breaking. They made like a graphic about it. You know,
oh, really?
Where they put stats on the table and they had like Tom Brady jumping through the table. It was weird.
Chris Myers, Daryl Johnson, Laura Oakman.
Ooh, I'm going to say under 2.
Yeah, I'm going to say the under 2. You know, someone sent us a funny video though yesterday of this is how Bills fans baptize their children.
I saw that.
And it was the baby being lowered onto a table that broke in half.
Where do you get that type of little
table?
Folding table that's cracks like that.
I don't know, but it was
only in Buffalo. Oh, here's another Buffalo. This is the last one we'll do. This is another Buffalo centric Bears Bills game prop bet for our podcast.
Does that have to do with Buffalo wings?
No, it does not. This is from Anthony Wright on Twitter. Sex toys tossed on the field.
Ooh.
Over under. He didn't give us a number, but we should give a number.
I'm 1.5. Here's
that guy got arrested.
Yeah, he got arrested. So you got.
That's not going to discourage the Bills Mafia. Are you kidding me?
I liked all the
that
jokes.
Might encourage them.
I liked all the jokes people had though about how they get those things get snuck into the stadium.
Oh God, I don't want to know.
But they're also kind of silly because look, depends on the sex toy, but they shouldn't be setting off metal detectors.
No.
Right. So that should
that depends nowadays.
That
Adam.
Should be something that you could have in your pocket. And get in without it being noticed.
Right, right.
I don't think they pat you down at games. We never get pat down.
Can you imagine how many...
Sir, what is that in your pocket?
What is that? Is that a banana? Are you just happy to see me?
Personally, I like Scoog's question better.
Okay, well, what are we going to do for the sex toy toss? Come on, Joe, if you don't like it, give us a number. How many... things are going to be thrown. I don't want to say it. On the field.
You got to set that at just a half. I would think that it's either a no go or maybe you see one. But
the best part about the guy that got arrested, he's from Florida.
Yes, which created a Florida man arrested for throwing sex toy onto the field. Great job. By the way, I'm getting emails during the podcast right now. Requesting, this is from Adam in Madison, Wisconsin, requesting the communist soundbite.
I guess I am a communist.
We take requests.
I'm not a communist, people. You cut that one?
He said, I'm guessing you clipped it already. You know me well, Adam, but wanted to make sure you had the audio of John saying he's a communist. Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to this game.
We should talk about this game, finally. The Bears are 10-point favorites in Buffalo, noon Sunday on Fox.
That spread's really gone up.
Opened at 8, moved to 10 quickly after Nathan Peterman was announced as the starter.
The price is not 14.
Well, it's 14 against the Patriots. I actually think this spread's giving the Bears a lot of respect. It was 14 on Monday night against the Patriots. Bills-Patriots. Patriots were 14-point favorites. And this is after... Now, the Patriots covered that. But for a long time in that game, the Bills played very, very well and were under the number. And so I think that this 10-point spread's actually giving the Bears a lot of respect.
So my biggest question is... forget the injuries and whatnot. I want to see how Mitch Trubisky handles the pressure. How will he handle the pressure? I think he's built the base up against some pretty aggressive, exotic-looking defense. Last week, the Jets, they came after him a bit. The Dolphins came after him a bit.
Yeah.
Cardinals came after him a bit. I want to see how he handles it on the road against a defense, which I think is better than some of those other defenses.
My question is similar because I think the broader question is how much can this offense score in this game? I think it's going to be tough to find points. I think this is a game where they're going to have to be able to figure out a way to run the football, and I think it's going to be tough, and you don't have Kyle Long in there. So that's really my question is how will the Bears run the football? They made some strides last week, but it still wasn't great. But that was a good Jets front they played against. Now you got a good Bills front. Can you run the ball without Kyle Long in there? How does James Daniels and Eric Kush play up the middle? By the way, Cody Whitehair so far is having a great season.
Absolutely.
And he's got to keep that going. That's a very positive development. But can the Bears move the ball on the ground when I think it's going to be tough to score points in this game?
So here's my bold prediction. You're not going to give me any props for hitting the one last week?
Bold predictions.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. So I'm going to double down on my Jordan Howard bold prediction. I'm going to say he goes over 100.
Oh, okay. So yeah. You're going from 80, which he got by 1 yard. Congratulations.
Yes.
To 100. What's your reasoning?
It's being bold, Adam. Oh, no, I think Matt Nagy has found certain things, plays, whatever, that concepts, whatever you want to use, whatever play calling word you want to use that work for Jordan Howard, or he has more of a base to turn to this week. And I could see this game being one of those, I don't know, 20-6 in the second half where you got to grind it out. Enough is enough. Let's not risk Trubisky. Let's pound the ball with Jordan Howard. And the Bills are coming off kind of an emotional game. This is like a letdown game for them, at least spiritually, we'll call it that, after the Patriots loss, after a rival like that. So I think Jordan Howard can give them a licking, and I think that will happen in the second half.
All right, here's my bold prediction. I think the defense shuts out the Bills. I don't think the Bills score a point. Now, originally I was going to say that I don't think the Bills score a touchdown in this game, but I don't think that would be bold enough. So
I like it.
Here's the thing. I don't really believe. I think they probably get a field goal or something. But this is bold prediction time. So I'm going to say Bears shut out the Bills. They do not score a point in this game.
Oh, wow. They got some weapons offensively. Rare receiver, Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah.
Sean McCoy. Zay Jones.
Nathan Peterman, though.
Terrell Pryor. I don't think he's going to play. He shouldn't play. But
Nathan Peterman throws more touchdowns to the defense than the offense.
Okay.
Well, here's the problem, though, with the Bears' defense. They still, like, they should have only allowed 3 points against the Jets, but they couldn't come up with those big plays on that one touchdown drive.
Well, here's the thing. They had it. They had them off the field.
Right, but then they committed a stupid penalty.
Yes.
And then Kyle Fuller can't catch an easy interception. And then Danny Trevathan's kind of lost in coverage, and just like that, they have a touchdown. And there's been a moment like that, or stacked moments within a drive all season
for the
Bears. At some point in every game, they miss a tackle, or they miss 3 tackles on one play, and all of a sudden Albert Wilson's 75 yards downfield. So I actually do think it's bold to just even suggest that will not happen in this game, because it's happened in every single game. And honestly, it won't surprise me if
Zay Jones takes a 5 yard out and goes up the field.
Because that's been out there. So I do think it's bold to say that they're not going to give up a touchdown.
All right. So what's your final?
17-0.
Okay.
I don't think the Bears are going to have a whole lot of success offensively. I think it's going to be more of this grinded out type of game like it was in Arizona earlier this year. But ultimately, you're facing a team on a short week that had a lot of emotion invested in trying to beat the Patriots. And honestly,
we can't underrate that.
They played well for about 75% of the game, and then just sort of got away. I think that's sort of, like, it wouldn't surprise me if the Bears are only up 10-0, or, you know, even if it's like 10-6, honestly, in the fourth quarter, and then the Bears come up with one more touchdown to pull away.
They know the Patriots better, too. I think the Bears might surprise you, but offensively, I could see a 10-0 halftime that turns into like a 24-3 win or something like that. So I'm going to go 24-9. let's say it's 24-6. 24-6.
So we both have them covering the 10.
Yes.
Which they ended up covering last week. Joe, what do you think of this game?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. You know, while watching Derek Anderson, I felt like a little nervous. Not that they would lose the game, but that the Bears wouldn't be able to cover the spread. I'm not sure I trust Trubisky to cover a big spread. But man, Nathan Peterman is so bad. And I love your bold prediction, Hoger. I think this is going to be a shutout, 17-0 Bears.
Ooh, Bears. All right, fair enough. Should we get to some of these other games? We're running a little short on time, so we're going to have to roll through these.
If we win this game tonight, Adam Hogue will be rhetorically dancing with his verbiage. Two outs. Here's Luke Voigt, pinch batting.
The Luke Voigt part is the best. Do you want to do a rapid fire? Why do you want to do these?
We'll just move quickly. Lions at Vikings. This is a five. I'm almost surprised the spread's not higher. Vikings have been, well, they were playing better, and then they got, frankly, they got exposed by the Saints the other night. I mean, as in, I think the Vikings are still a good team, but maybe not on that elite level, Super Bowl level.
Kirk Cousins had a big pick six that seemed to be a miscommunication with Stephon Diggs. That didn't help. But Saints are for real. Forgive me for doubting them earlier on the year. As far as this game, Lions, what are you doing trading Golden Tate? What does that sign? What does that tell you about your team or direction? How does that make your franchise better? Sit up in your chair, Adam Hogue. Give me the Vikings. I think that Golden Tate thing is just curious. He's a very good football player. Mm-hmm. And you always need pass catchers. I know you get Kenny Galladay. I know you get Marvin Jones Jr. Golden Tate has been productive. He's been a Bears killer, too. But as far as this game, give me the Vikings, even with giving up the five.
Yeah, I think the Vikings bounce back. Lions, that loss to the Seahawks at home, that's going to be tough because they... After they could potentially lose to Minnesota, then they come to Chicago. All of a sudden, you're talking about a possible three-game losing streak here for the Lions, and their season's basically over then. So I'm going to take the Vikings. Joe?
Yeah, I'm with the Vikings, too. They're a better team, even if the Lions kept Golden Tate. You know, the five, that's a curious number. I'm surprised by that. So I'm definitely willing to lay the five.
Yeah, although sometimes it makes me like nervous when the line doesn't make sense. But
all right. You love the interception questions. Like I was counting you for that.
You don't like that sound. Packers at Patriots, big one on Sunday Night Football, 7:20 Sunday on NBC. The Patriots, another curious line. I'm surprised the Patriots are only 5.5 point favorites. I think this is probably a reaction to the
Michael Jordan commercial. Yeah.
Yeah, the Michael. How did they get MJ to do that?
Awesome.
And boy, are they milking it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like every commercial break nine times.
Yeah, it's fantastic, though.
It's a good commercial.
Great commercial.
But the Packers were 9.5 point underdogs. I think he ended up coming down to 7.5 against the Rams. They covered, thanks to Todd Gurley.
Well, I think what we've learned is that the Patriots' defense isn't particularly great. They're quite porous. Points can be put up against them. So you're going up against Aaron Rodgers. So you know he's going to score his points. Same thing, though. Same thing as the Lions. I know Ty Montgomery and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix aren't what maybe Bears fans think they are. Maybe they're a bit overrated.
Ha-Ha's pretty good. Yeah. I did not understand that trade.
Yeah, but you still, I almost wonder if they think your guy, Josh Jackson, could be a safety full-time.
Yeah.
He's been pretty good in the slot, or at least he was early on when they faced the Bears. I don't know how things have developed there, but I saw that thrown out on Twitter. Ty Montgomery, though, is a Bears killer. Some of his best games as that quasi running back have come against the Bears.
He had to go though after what happened Sunday.
Well, that whole organization is very
shaky.
Yes, very very good description there. This is Patriots. They cover this. They do cover this. It could just be a touchdown win or a two field goal win, but they do cover this against the Packers.
I think this is the most important game of the Packers season, and it's a tough one for it to be their most important game. They need to find a way to win, or this thing I think spirals out of control. I can't imagine what they're thinking in that locker room, trading away Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Like, are we giving in? Because they certainly did not make you any better. And the compensation, if you had let him go in the offseason, I think would have been a fourth-round pick, too. That's what you got in return. So I don't really understand that at all. Give me the Patriots here. Would not surprise me if they just blow out the Packers, to be honest with you. Joe?
I'm going the other direction. I got the Packers to cover. I think Aaron Rodgers just shreds that secondary. We saw against the Chiefs when the Patriots played the Chiefs, when they played the Bears, and even a couple times during the game against the Bills on Monday night, that the Patriots secondary just is lacking just a little bit, and I think Aaron Rodgers takes advantage.
All right, going the other way.
We're going to be simple. We're going to play fast. We're going to play hard. We're going to kill it, okay? This is a great acronym, you guys, right? Kill it. Keep it likable and learnable.
As good as the Aaron Rodgers-Tom Brady matchup is, this is your game of the week. Rams, undefeated, going to New Orleans. Saints have won six in a row. They are 1.5-point favorites over the undefeated Rams. Now, they're at home, and they did just do to the Vikings on the road what they did. I'm still a little surprised to see the Saints favored. 3:25 Sunday on Fox. This should be a great game.
Preview? NFC Championship, maybe?
Could be.
I'm going to keep my analysis simple. I think the home field advantage is exactly what the Saints need in this. It's going to be loud. It's going to be rowdy. The Rams, they're darn good. That defense now with Dante Fowler, who may be a tad bit overrated. He's not the first-round pick people think he is. It's threatening for Drew Brees, but I think the Saints are hot. They got a lot of things going for them on both sides of the ball. Give me the Saints covering the 1.5.
I'm going to go Rams just because they're getting the 1.5. They keep finding ways to win. They're very well coached. Offensively, they should be able to move on the Saints defense. Although I got to say, the Saints defense playing pretty well as of late. I don't love it. I think this is a tough game to call, but I'll take the Rams just because they're getting 1.5 here and they are undefeated. Joe?
New Orleans back-to-back wins in tough environments at Baltimore and then in Minnesota last week. They're coming home against a Rams team. I think it's going to be, like you guys said, best game of the weekend. Home field wins it. I got the Saints too.
Do your research.
All right, we'll keep it moving. Speaking of those Ravens, they host the Steelers. The Ravens, I think, have the most misleading 4-4 record in football because they've actually been playing pretty well. This is a must-win for them at home against the Steelers. That sort of the opposite way. They're 4-2-1 and haven't played the best football. At home, getting 3. This is noon Sunday on CBS. I'll take the Ravens.
I'm going to take the Steelers.
Yeah, I got the Ravens, too. defense is great. Last week was not the Baltimore team that we know. This is going to be a good game, and I like Baltimore to win.
The Steelers are doing what they always do. They look completely at some points early on in the season, and they just seem to just turn around and start stacking wins. You can do it again here.
All right.
I'd like to see him get his hands on more balls.
And your last NFL game, the Chargers go to Seattle. How about the Seahawks? They've turned things around. They're 4-3 all of a sudden. Playing pretty well. Give Pete Carroll a lot
4-1 in their last 5, right?
Yeah, give Pete Carroll a lot of credit for turning things around. They are actually favored over the Chargers, who have been kind of quiet. They're L.A. second team, and L.A. doesn't even really care that much to begin with. They're good. The Chargers are good.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they're underdogs here, but I guess the way the Seahawks are playing, it's always tough to go into Seattle and win.
Yes, yes, yes. I like to see what the Seahawks got going right now. How could you not? That win by the Bears is starting to look better and better against Russell Wilson. Was it week 2? Week 3? God, it seems
week
like
2.
A long time ago. Give me the Seahawks in this. I've picked every home team, I believe, in this, but except the Bills. Yeah, Seahawks.
All right, I'm going to go with the Chargers. I just think the Seahawks are still a little flawed, and this is a little bit of a wake-up call for them, although it is kind of hard to trust the Chargers in this situation. They've won 4 games in a row as L.A. It's still weird to say L.A. Joe?
Yeah, I'm not buying what the Seahawks are selling. I like the Chargers coming off the bye week. Rivers should go in there and have a pretty easy time against that Seattle secondary. I like the Chargers to cover the 2 and then some.
You know, the one interesting thing about the Chargers, though, I'll point out, they're 5 wins. Bills, 49ers, Raiders, Browns, and then the Titans. The Titans are the only one that's even a decent win. The rest of them came against
bad teams. I saw a stat today that the Titans have only scored 8 offensive touchdowns this season.
Yeah, they've been a mess offensively. However, on the flip side, the Chargers 2 losses to the Chiefs and the Rams.
Ah.
So This is the type of game where we find out if they're for real. If they can go to Seattle and beat an okay Seahawks team, if they lose, then you start to doubt it. All right, let's move on to these college football games. Some good ones this week. We'll start in the Big Ten. Number 14, Penn State. They got a good win over Iowa last week at home. They head to number 5, Michigan. 2:45 Saturday on ESPN.
Joe, the floor is yours.
Well, first of all, the spread is 10.5. Michigan favorite, Joe.
That's a big number at the big house, but I am going with my Wolverines, which I don't always do. I usually, you know, I can play it down the middle. I'm confident in this game because of one guy, Don Brown, the defensive coordinator for Michigan. He said he's been waking up thinking about the game last year where Penn State just completely waxed Michigan. It was in the whiteout game, total domination. I think he's been game planning for this game. They're getting back at it. Patterson's starting to play better. They're getting some receivers healthy. Maybe even Rashawn Gary comes back. Michigan wipes the floor with Penn State at the Big House this weekend.
Wow, wow, wow.
I agree with Joe.
Wiping the floor?
I think they cover the spread.
Waxing them?
They wax them.
They wax them.
They cover the 10.5.
That does actually imply wiping the floor in a sense. Waxing the floor.
They're
going to wax the floor.
Michigan's a better team than Penn State. Penn State has some holes. Their tough games have all come at home so far this season, Penn State's. This is their first real road test. And even against Indiana, they didn't really put...
No.
They went on the road to Indiana and just sort of, you know... They won, but it wasn't very convincing. I think Michigan coming off a bye, too. The revenge factor that Joe just brought up, I think they win comfortably.
Okay, then I will have to concur. I like Penn State's quarterback a lot, McSorley. I like what he does. 10.5 is a lot of points. But if you're going to wax the floor with them, okay.
Wax on, wax off.
All right. That's what you got?
Yeah, that's my analysis.
Right. Adam Jones!
Good job.
I like this game. Go ahead.
Number 4, Notre Dame in Evanston. Saturday night, 6:15 on ESPN. If you can't watch it on TV, we'll have the coverage for you on WGN Radio. The Cats are 9.5-point dogs to Notre Dame.
I like the Cats winning outright.
Okay. By the way, I picked Northwestern last week. You also said you liked them winning that game. They dominated Wisconsin.
Yes, they did.
Start to finish.
Yes, and then they dominated despite some of their own turnover problems.
Sure, Clayton threw the ball 3 interceptions.
Is Evanston kind of a tough place to play for some teams?
Barry Alvarez always says an 11 a.m. game in...
Well, this one is not 11 a.m.
No, but 11 a.m. game in Evanston is the best home field advantage.
Yeah. I like the idea joke. Of these two teams playing. They recruit a lot of the same kids within the Chicago area.
Northwestern got a recruiting victory this week over Notre Dame.
Who's that?
I forget.
Okay.
Teddy Greenstein wrote about it, though.
Well, thanks for nothing there. Anyway,
I don't really pay attention to recruiting.
But they've gotten kids over Notre Dame in the area before. This is a big game for Northwestern at a lot of different levels. I like them, and it's a gut call. 9.5, you know, Notre Dame is a very good team since they changed quarterbacks, but give me the Cats in here. Winning outright.
The tricky part, that's bold, the tricky part of this game... is that Northwestern's season really hinges on the Iowa game next week.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to overlook this game, though. You can't win.
I know.
This team's coming up the Skyway, going through the city, going through, you know, Chicago's Big Ten town, going all the way up to Northwestern.
Good luck taking the Skyway with those buses. That's going to cost you some money.
Yeah, well, Notre Dame's got that just fine. But
like $40 a bus, I think. Look, assuming that there is no overlook factor here, 9.5 is way too much here, in my opinion. Northwestern, I said this last week, if you've been paying attention, the games they've struggled is when they've been favorites, when they're playing down to their competition, in games where they're underdogs. Pat Fitzgerald loves being an underdog. His players love it. They play up to their competition. This is a tough game. Notre Dame had to go to San Diego last week, play that tough Navy offense. I know they're not as good this year, but that's still always hard to prepare for. You get banged up a little bit. You come back, another road game, tough environment at night. I think the 9.5, definitely take Northwestern. Wouldn't surprise me if they win either. Joe?
Yeah, that's a big number, but I think Notre Dame covers it. it's an interesting aspect that you're so far into this season, and it's a big game atmosphere type, but it's out of conference, and really, you know, Northwestern season doesn't hinge on this. You know, right. they could get blown out, and really, it doesn't matter. You just got to stay the course and win the Big Ten West and face Michigan in the Big Ten championship. So, I'm going to say Notre Dame covers, but I'm not super confident about it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're playing for the playoff, then this game's everything. This is the game you have to get. But they're not. They unfortunately lost to Duke and Akron. So it's just kind of weird to have this game later in the year. But anytime you got Notre Dame, number four, coming to your house for a night game, you got to be up for it. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out on Saturday night. And then they'll be opposite of the big Alabama-LSU game. That's our last game we're picking here. Number one, Alabama. They've been crushing everyone. Their starting quarterback never plays in the fourth quarter. I think you might have to play in the fourth quarter this week. At number three, LSU, the spread is 14.5. When's the last time LSU was a 14.5 point dog at home? I'd love to know that.
I don't think Tua is going to play much in the fourth quarter.
You don't think so?
No. No one's stopping them this year. I don't think I've seen anything like it. They're blowing out ranked teams.
And this is
talented ranked teams with pro prospects.
Yeah. LSU, though.
Yeah, I'm sticking with the trend. Alabama by a lot.
Everything in my brain tells me to agree with you, except for that it's still a rivalry game. Alabama hasn't, like, what happens if they are in a situation where it's close in the fourth quarter? They haven't dealt with that all season.
I'm guessing they have enough playmakers to come through, starting with their quarterback who's playing phenomenal, no interception free football.
I think Alabama wins, but at some point, they got to face some kind of stiff competition. And LSU, night game, Baton Rouge, college game day. Again, it's a rivalry game. I just think this is the one that's going to be a little bit closer. Bama wins, but 14.5, give me LSU.
Yeah, I hate to pick a game because of a venue and the fact that it's a night game, but I think that's why I'm picking LSU, not to win, but to cover. I went with Georgia a couple weeks ago at LSU when LSU was getting points and they got destroyed.
Right.
I think that, you know, something similar happens here where LSU gets out, you know, plays well enough to keep it close, but Bama's athletes win out and they win the game, but LSU covers.
Side note, speaking of Georgia, I love Georgia covering 8 at Kentucky this
week. That's another fun one. This is a great weekend for college football. You should start liking it, Johnsy.
I do like college football.
Oh, you do now all
of
a sudden?
Yes. Always have.
That qualifies as breaking news. All right, we should get out of here. I don't think you're going to make Matt Nagy.
No, I'm going to run right now, though.
You can. All right, let's get out of here. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears Chicago, SunTimes.com. Please rate, review the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. Get a friend to subscribe. Do it. Do it right now.
So take that and think about that for a little bit.
Thanks to our producer, Joe Romano. You can follow him at Joey Joe Rowe. Bears, Bills, we'll talk to you after the game from Buffalo on Sunday. Have a good weekend, everyone. Enjoy those college football games.
His package just continues to grow and grow, Joe.